حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. لذت، pleasure, enjoyment is something that Allah has kept in our fitrat, in our nature. And seeking pleasure, wanting to be pleased, wanting a happy life, wishing for happiness and true happiness and ultimate happiness is natural to our being and is what Allah wants from us. He wants us to seek that happiness that He has in store for us. Yesterday I mentioned that these pleasures, some of them are accessible right now to us and some of them are hidden away within us and we are potentially capable of achieving it. And those pleasures that are within us that we have the potential to achieve are much more satisfying and much more gratifying than the pleasures that are easily accessible to us. And hence, when we look at our nature and the way Allah made us, we are made to reach the height of pleasure, the height of lazzat. That's how Allah made us. Now, we naturally and instinctively would strive for that. And someone who denies that, someone who says, no, I don't run after pleasures, is someone who's denying his own nature, who he is. And by doing so, he's going to prevent himself from going towards the higher levels of iman. Many people have this misunderstanding that lazzat is something demeaning and is anti-taqwa. And they feel that this is not something that a mu'min or a muttaqi person should be doing. And by saying or believing in that, not only are they cutting themselves off from the higher stages that Allah has meant for mankind, they will stop their spiritual growth and really end up becoming frustrated and annoyed not only with themselves but God forbid with Allah also. People don't admit this. They don't say it. But deep in their heart, they harbor these feelings. Because Allah never wanted them to do these things. He never wanted them to stop themselves from seeking pleasure. They stop themselves. And this is where we don't want to reach. When Allah has made us and made our nature to seek higher pleasures, it requires some effort, some struggle on our part. And the only reason that we do not go after that great enjoyment and that beautiful lazzat that Allah has in store for us is very simple. It's only because we are lazy. We are lazy. Otherwise, it's in our nature to run after it. Why aren't you going after it? Because we're lazy. And Allah is asking, why did you stop? I made you with the nature of going so much. Why did you stop? Why don't you want to be better than what you are? Why don't you want the greater ajr and reward and happiness? Why did you stop running after it? And this is where we come to right now. Many people think that, you know, when they look at, you know, Ahlul Bayt. Yeah, when they look at, for example, great mu'mineen, like, you know, the ashab of Imam Hussein. Or let's even come downwards, you know, like, for example, our great ulama. When you look at their lives, you see that they are enjoying something that we are not, you know. And then we wonder, why is it that they enjoy, for example, namaz so much? They enjoy prayers. I mean, once they pray, you can't get them out of it. And when I look at myself, I'm not obviously talking about myself, you know. You're better than me. So when I look at myself, I'm looking at myself and say, man, you have a hard time to get these people out of prayer, and you have a hard time to get me into prayer. What are they enjoying that I'm not? What are they feeling that I'm not? You see, isn't that being inquisitive? At least I want to feel that. See, this is our nature. Allah is saying, good, you have this question in your mind, then go after it. But a lot of people think that, you know what? That feeling, that enjoyment is like, you know, dessert. You know, I had my meal. Whether I want dessert or not, that's optional. It's like dessert, right? Not something necessary. Not something important. You know, it's the main meal that's important, and I've done that. That, if I want to, it's like optional for me to do that. They don't understand that this is a necessity in our nature. We are inclined towards Allah and to go towards Allah. When we stop ourselves, the only outcome of that is frustration and anger. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, really, a lot of times when we look at these things, right, it really matters. For example, I'm happy to be a Shia of Imam Hussein, right? We are happy. But now the question comes, there's a difference between being a Shia and being an Ashab of Imam Hussein, a companion of Imam Hussein. When we look at them, then we're like, wow, how'd they get there? How'd they get that high? How'd they get, what are they enjoying? So what happens is that when we speak of them, when we see the higher stages or hear about them, the idea that people mostly give is that, wow, that's interesting. Interesting? That's it? That's your reaction? You should be dying to get there. You should be like killing yourself. Oh, you know, how I want to reach there. It's like that. Don't you want to reach Karbala? Don't you want to be with Imam Hussein? You should be dying for it. That's it. That is what I want. That's the emotion to have. Let me just read a sentence from a dua of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Now, you can read this, Sahifa Sajjadia, it's in there. This small sentence of this dua where Imam is asking Allah for something, right? He's saying, Ahbibni, wahabibni, wahabib ilayya ma tuhibbu min al-qawl wal-amal, hatta adkhula fihi bil-lazzatin, wa akhruja minhu bin-nishat. My friends, Imam is saying to Allah that Allah, make me love those things, those sayings and those actions that you love, that you like. Make me love that. Whatever you like for me to do, make me love it. Make me love it to such an extent that every time I enter it, I feel lazzat in it. I feel pleasure in it and enjoyment in it. Every time I go for it, I mean, that's how I want to live my life. Whatever you want me to do, you want me to sleep, give me lazzat in it. You want me to say this, give me lazzat in it. You want me to go to the majlis, give me lazzat in it. Give me pleasure in that. My friends, there is no greater zahid than Imam Sajjad. No one has more zuhd and taqwa than Imam Sajjad. Imam Sajjad is Sayyidus Sajideen, the chief of all those who prostrated. Imam is Zainul Abideen. He is the height of worship, right? This is Imam Sajjad we are talking about, right? This is Imam Sajjad we are talking about. And Imam Sajjad is saying that Allah, whatever I want, whatever you want me to do, make me love it so much that I have pleasure in it. Imam is wanting pleasure from Allah. He wants lazzat from Allah. And here we are saying, no, we are too muttaqi for pleasure. We need to stop being, I'm not saying about we, I'm saying as an example of people, people need to be stopped being more muttaqi than Imam Sajjad. There is a mistake in that. You can't be. It's like, for example, you know, there are people, for example, who think that they are the role model of Azadari. And mourning of Imam Hussain and Matam of Imam Hussain, they are the this and that. In fact, they become a greater Azadar than Imam Sajjad does. Understand this. Listen. Do you really think that your Azadari is even comparable to Imam Sajjad? Understand this. I mean, he is the reason we are doing Azadari. He is the reason we are crying for. No one can do it better than him. No one feels it more than him. Right? Just like that. A lot of times, this is how Shaitan misguides us. We think that we can go ahead of him. You can't. Really, you can't. You know, you're here for 10 days or 2 months or 2 months and 8 days and then you go on with your life. Imam Sajjad didn't go on with his life. His life stopped there. Really, it stopped there. You can't. We can't. That's the way it is. So my friends, understand this. When they are teaching us, when they are showing us and describing us, then understand what they are saying so that we learn Islam the way they wanted us to learn it. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So really, you know, this is Imam Sajjad. He's asking for lazzat. He's saying, Allah, give me lazzat in everything that I do. Pleasure. Why is that? Because he knows that this is why Allah made us, and the greater lazzat will be known through this lazzat. This is how it's known, my friends. Shukr, Allah, I want to give thanks to you. So make me pleased with everything that you have given me. And then when a person reaches that stage, then you know what? Pleasure has a different meaning. La ilaha illallah. You know, when we look at ourselves, do not look at ourselves as someone who is, you know, a super mu'min or something like that. We will be mistaken if we do that. You know who we are? We are the same child. We are the same child that our parents, your mother and father, used to take you around and you used to look at candy and say, I want that candy. Yes. You remember how you used to cry for that candy? We all did. Now we have white hair. We all did. We cried for that candy. Or, you know, in some people's terms, mitai. whatever it was. We cried for it. We used to beg them, please give me that, give me that. My friends, what did we used to do? Now we are adults. Now we are more intelligent. Now we should have a better understanding of what pleasure is. And we should be seeking those pleasures from Allah. And we should go to Allah the same way we went to our parents and say, Allah, I want to have the candy that is with you. That's the pleasure. Allah says, I have it. Don't you want it? And here we are. This is how a person becomes humble before Allah. This is how you become humble. Allah, I want that. Allah is saying, good. You want this. That's good. That's how we break ourselves down before Allah. Otherwise, if we are saying that, no, we don't want pleasure, we don't want lazat, we're not that type of lying, you know, I mean, we're better than that. Better than that? You're better than what I have? My friends, this is the concept of growth in Islam. By going through this lazat and recognizing there's something better than this, then going through that, then recognizing there's something better than that, and going forward like that, and at the end, where do you reach? Trust me, you won't reach the end. Yes. La ilaha illallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, if you ever have a chance, go and read the dua of Abu Hamza Thumali. If you haven't had a chance ever to read it, you know, usually it's read in Ramadan, Mahe Ramadan, right? We read it then. And please read it in your language that you can understand, please. If you read in Arabic, you know, really, you know, it won't really help you. If you read in this dua, in the month of Ramadan, Imam Sajjad is making this dua, and he, in that dua, is listing out the pleasures that he is seeking from Allah. Allah, give me this pleasure. Allah, give me this pleasure. Allah, give me this pleasure. Seeking pleasure, seeking lazat, the lazat is, the lazat, the variety and the diverse pleasures that Allah has that we cannot even comprehend. That's there, my friend. So this is what it is. Now, if you understood that, and hopefully we pass that stage, because people, you know, when they hear about lazat, you know, their mind goes to places, you know, where they thought that they wouldn't think of in a majlis, right? But it shouldn't be going there. You should have passed that stage. It shouldn't be going there. And obviously, when I'm saying lazat, there is a lazat that Allah has and stages of it. That if we experience that, then we will never turn towards anything here. You know, there's hadith, for example, and you heard this hadith, that it says that if a hair of a hurul een falls in the dunya, then no man will have any feeling for any woman. Do you understand that hadith? It's because when you have the experience and ma'rifat of what is with Allah, then you will leave every enjoyment that is without Allah. Understand this. This is what it is. Now, if we have understood that and gone past that stage, now let me go on if you send the salawats. La ilaha illallah. My friends, there is, when we have materialistic pleasures, you know, pleasures of dunya, you know, desires, these pleasures can only satisfy you and gratify you to an extent, not more than that. There's a limit for it. You can't get more out of it. There is a limit for it. If you want to go higher than that, if you want to feel something higher than that, then how do you get to that? This is what we want, right? We're looking at Imam Ali and seeing that, wow, how much does he love prayer? What enjoyment is he having there? Well, how did he get there? Oh, Maulana, he's masoom and that's how Allah... No, that's not how it is, my friends. Really, we need to be better than that and understand this, right? What makes a person have more pleasure. Because when you, and you know this more than I do, when you want to take pleasure from materialistic things, it can only go for such an extent and it stops there. That's it. There's nothing that you can get out of it more than that. There's a limit of satisfaction you can get from it. If you want more than that, if you want to increase this pleasure, then how do you do it? What is the secret? Wouldn't you want to know? Okay, all right, inshallah, you know, just we'll take a break, and if everyone can move forward here, inshallah, we have more room. There's no room in the back, and the people are waiting outside to come inside. So if you all can move forward, we have room over here also, inshallah. Now, my friends, understand this. You know, how do we increase this pleasure? This is what Allah wants from us. But there's a reason, there's a method of doing it. There's a secret behind reaching the higher pleasure. Out of anything, reaching the higher pleasure, materialistic things cannot make you reach the height of pleasure and lazzat. The only thing that can make you reach the height of lazzat is muhabbat, is love. That's it, my friends. You wanted to know how to reach the higher state? It is love that makes you reach there. Yes. You know, if you, buy a rose from Walmart and put it in your house, how long would you remember that experience? But if that rose was given by a lover, that becomes a lifelong memory. What? Why? How? What happened? The rose is the same. The rose is the same. My friends, really, what makes us truly enjoy and seek pleasure, that true pleasure can only come from love. Really, it's come from love. You know, I buy a dress from Macy's, you know, it rots in my closet. Every time I look at it, I'm like, man, I spent $200 on this. Right? But if that dress was given by someone who's beloved to me, then every time I look at it, I have pleasure. See, understand this, my friends. What love can do. It is said that shahadat has made stones capable of being kissed. Understand this. That shahadat that was in Karbala, and you see this dirt of Karbala, what do we do with it now? It's just dirt. You know, there's dirt outside of here also. But because that dirt is mixed with love, now you see it has a value. See, this is what love does. Love does two things, my friends. Understand this very well. Love does two things. It raises our capacity to love at a higher level. That's the first thing it does. The second thing love does is that it makes things that are unenjoyable, enjoyable for us. Understand this. Two things that muhabbat does. Really. And those who have been in love and who are in love, and you all are because you're here. That's why I know I can speak about love here. Because people who don't understand love, they call it craziness. They call these people are crazy. Really. Have you ever looked at it from a person who doesn't know what love is? And let me just tell you this thing, my friends. Love can only be experienced by those who are brave, never by those who are cowards. Cowards can never love. Cowards can never love. It's only brave and courageous people who can love. Really, because, you know, you're putting yourself out there. That's what love is. Putting yourself out there. So now, when you look at this love, this is the reason I'm saying this, that when you now are lovers, I can speak to you. Those who don't understand what love is, when they look at us, we're crazy. Really, we are crazy. For those who don't know what love is, never experienced love, they would never know. You. I'm talking about us now. You see, if you look at it from a perspective of someone who doesn't know love, who's looking at it from outside, they'll look at you and say, what's wrong with these people? Adults, grown-up people, crying and hitting themselves? Does it make sense? Really, does it make sense? You go around and you do matam? You think that those people outside are understanding what you're doing? They're calling you crazy. They're calling you crazy. You know, and that's what happened with lovers. Every love story you see, right? The guy who's loving is crazy. That's why it's called Majnun. Why is it called Majnun? That means crazy. Right? Crazy, why? Why is he crazy for? Because people don't understand it. People can't relate to it. It is something, really, love is a higher level of life. Being in love is a higher level of life. Those who are not living at that level will never understand those who are in love. This is the situation, my friends. Really, it is love that is making us do things that a person normally would not do. Taking you to the higher level. But yes, there are other things that make you do stupid things also. Right? Other things make you do stupid things also, but they're taking you down. Right? They're taking you down. The reason they take you down is because they are not permanent. I told you, pleasure, one of the conditions of pleasure being pleasure, it must be permanent. Right? You know, I remember this one guy, he was in New York. Actually, yeah, brother, in New York, African-American. And he used to do a lot of tabligh on the streets. Right? He used to do tabligh on the streets. And he used to hang out with the roughest crowd. And he used to, you know, talk to them about Islam, bring them in, and he's a Shia. So what happened is that he was, you know, on the street, and someone came up to him and said, you know, and they thought that, you know, he's a dealer. You know? And, you know, they came to him and say, hey, buddy, you got some, you know? So this guy said, what do you want? You know, I want to get, you know, high. So he said, yeah, I got something to make you high. All right? He said, really? He said, yep. And what I got gives you a high to such an extent that you never come down. He said, really? What's that? Can I have one of that? Can I have one of that? He said, yeah, of course you can have it. Really? It won't give you a down? No, no down, man. This is all high. He said, what is that? Here, come. It is called love. It is called love. Let me introduce you to Ali and Hussein. Really? You see, those things that are there that make you do crazy things are not permanent. They're temporary. There's a high and there's a down. And by having that down, the same reason, my friends, understand this. Understand the logic. The same reason when Ibrahim saw the sun rising, he said, maybe that's God. When he went down, he said, it can't be God. It can't be God because it's fading away. It's going down. There's a downside to it. Truth cannot have a downside. Truth cannot have a downside. The same reason you see that when this high, the true high is there. The truth that brings you so high, it never gives you a down. Things of dunya give you a down. You know, that's why, for example, Allah said, you know, keep away from them. They're really not pleasure. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself by doing that. Yeah, have you ever seen, for example, you know, I mean, a wisdom behind why, you know, like music, for example. What does music do to you? You know, a lot of kids are like, what does music do to you? It makes me do homework. No, you know what it does to you? Right? I'll show you. Right? What it does to you, right? Exactly. It makes you dance. Makes you dance. Now tell me, if you just look at people dancing and they're listening to music, right? They're dancing. They're doing things that we would not normally do. Would you be doing that normally without music? You wouldn't. Now go and turn off the music and see what happens. Boom, they freeze. What happened? Why'd you freeze? Go on, man. You're having fun. Dance. We can't do it. Why not? Dance now. You see what happens? It's the music that's making you do things that an intelligent person would not do. And that's when it stops. That's it. It finishes. This is what it does to you. It makes you have a high, but then there's a downside to it. There's a downside to it. This is the reason, the only thing that can give you pleasure, the only thing that can give you a high that is lasting and permanent is love. Really, it is love, my friends. And this is where we want to understand. What love does to you is that it makes you enjoy the things you enjoy more, and it makes you enjoy those things that you do not enjoy. Really, you know? And I mean, I can give examples. You know, you can give your own examples for that, you know? You know, I don't like broccoli. That's me. I don't like broccoli. But when she told me to eat it, I was lapping it up. Why is that happening? My friends, why am I enjoying this now? Because of love. I mean, love is like that. And here, I wanted you to come to this, then we will explain this love, how far can it take you? Really, and then maybe we can understand a little bit about the love that a mu'min has for Ahlul Bayt. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. La ilaha illallah. Let me read a hadith for you before I go forward, all right? This is a hadith that has been mentioned from our imams that Allah has said this. The hadith of Qudsi, in other words, like that. Allah has said this. He said that love, you know, when Allah made love, He said that Allah says, I divided love into 100 parts. Divided love into 100 parts, and I kept 99 parts of love for me, and I gave one part of love for the dunya, for everything else. The whole universe has one part, and Allah has 99 parts. In other words, There is no way that you can even start comprehending the love that Allah has. You can't even start comprehending. I leave that alone, right? Now the second part of the hadith. That one part that he left for the alameen. He said, this is for the rest of you. He says, I divided that one part into 99 parts, or 100 parts. And I put 99 parts of that love in Ahlul Bayt and the rest for the rest of the world. My friends, that 1% that we have out of the, you know, I don't know how many is that, you know, 100 and 100, you do the math, right? So that 1%, that little itsy-bitsy fraction that we have is what we are feeling of love for Ahlul Bayt. Really. That in that 1%, we are feeling the love of Ahlul Bayt, and you are like, you know, you are going crazy. That 1%. My friends, Ahlul Bayt are feeling 99% of the love for us. Understand this, my friends. This is it. how, I mean, you know, the capacity of our love, how high we can go in love, there is no roof, there is no limit for it. There is no limit for it. You can, I mean, do not stop yourself. If you think that you love Imam Hussein, there's a lot more room left for you to love more. There's a lot more room. Don't ever think that I've reached my fill. This is so much. This ocean is so big that you can never come to grip with this. This is what love is, my friends. And I mean, love is what makes us go higher. It is love that makes us become greater and enjoy the greater pleasures. It is love that makes us do that. Muhabbat. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the more the love increases, the more pleasure we will feel. How much pleasure do you feel in expressing your love for Imam Hussein? You know it. I mean, I asked you yesterday, would you trade this for anything else in this world? And you said no. And I say you're honest. So if you can't trade this for anything in this world, this love that we have, this azadari that we have for Imam Hussein, imagine this, my friends. I want you to understand where this love makes us reach. What does it make us do? First of all, when we see love is for everything, you can love anything, right? As I said, you can love a dress, you can love a car, you can do anything because an attachment, you love it. But when you love materialistic things, there's only a limit that you can go to. You don't get gratification up to an extent. That's it. Only an extent. That's it. Up to here, you can get it. More than that, you can't. For example, let's say you have a favorite car. What's your favorite car that you want? Okay, Lamborghini, right? You know, there you go, right away. Very good. You have your goal set, right? Lamborghini, good, right? Now, let's say that you get it. This is what you loved. You dreamed about it. You had that picture of that Lamborghini on the your bedroom, your wall of your bedroom, you know? Every morning you used to wake up, you used to make ziyarat of it. Every afternoon. Every night when you go to sleep, you used to, you know, do masa and touch it. Right? And hope for it and plan it. Okay, good. You did that. Now you got it. Let's say you got the Lamborghini. Tell me, my friends, really. When you get it, understand what happens. Now you start to shower love on it. Every time you come, you will look at each and every nook and corner of that car and every crevice of that car and see, is there any dirt on here? And you start cleaning it and you take care of it. You shower your love on it. But you know what will happen? A time will come when you'll be like, man, I love this so much, but why is it not gratifying, satisfying anymore? Why is it not satisfying anymore? The car will tell you, listen, man, you milk me as much as you can. That's it. I can't give you any more pleasure. The car will tell you that. Materialistic things are like that. When you love something materialistic, you can only love it for so much. You can only be satisfied to an extent. This is why, in order for this love to find a place where it can find satisfaction, then materialistic things don't cut it anymore. Now we must go to the higher things. This is where man grows. But if he never tasted it, if he never had pleasure of it, and then he goes towards Ahlul Bayt, you see, here's, my friends, here's what happens, right? You know, when people come to Islam, or when we become religious and something like that, there are two reasons for it. And I really want you to come as a lover. The reason I say this is because I say that love is only done by brave people, not by cowards. You see, whenever you become religious or you want to pray or want to do these things, never do it out of cowardice. And what I mean by that is this. Understand this psychology. Some people come into religion, or some people come towards God because they have been kicked by the dunya. You know, they can't get into any clubs, they can't get into any big elite groups, no friends, everyone scorned them, so now they are losers. They're losers and they come. And they say, well, you know, at least over here in the masjid, I'll get some respect from people. You couldn't find respect anywhere else, or you ended up here. I mean, you were kicked there, that's why you came here. Don't come to Deen and to Allah as a coward. Really, come to Allah as a brave man who has kicked the dunya and then came. Really, you know, we know Karbala. Those who came to Hussein, they didn't come because they were cowards. That's why when they came, they were called Hur. They're called Hur. Why? He said, you are Hur. Because you kicked the dunya and you came here. You never saw people who said that, you know what, you know, let me go to, you know, because you know, they don't want me in Yazid's army, let me go there. No one like that came to Imam Hussein. And this is the reason, my friends, when you come to Deen and when you worship Allah, when you come to Ahlul Bayt, don't come because you're not wanted anywhere else, you know, oh, at least over here. Even though Ahlul Bayt will take you and embrace you. That is different. That's a whole different story. Right? They will do that. It's a whole different thing, my friends. Right? Inshallah, you will get their shafa'at. You know, I mean, now I'm really going on a tangent, right? You know, my friends, do not, and as I said, my friends, understand these two characters, and then you will see which type of character is what. Really? Do you really want to try for the shafa'at of Hussein? La ilaha illallah. My friends, if you can understand what that means, then you will be like, yeah, Hussein, why am I looking for your shafa'at? You'll really be. It is, you know, it's an embarrassing thing. If, you know, just, I will mention this, you know, on the day of judgment, when Bibi Fatima will come on the salawat ala Muhammad. When she comes in mahshar, in the ground of mahshar, and everyone will just have their heads bowed down. They'll have their heads bowed down. And it'll be the day of truth. Everything will be exposed. Everything will be there. She will bring her anger and her story on that ground. Say that this is what we have been made to go through. And you know what? Then everyone will understand, why did you go through this? La ilaha illallah. Why did you go through this? It will be told. Because of your hidayat, of your guidance to guide mankind, we went through this. And we will stand there. Really, my friends, understand this. If we, standing on the day of judgment, will say, Bibi, we ignored your guidance, hoping for your shafa'at. We didn't listen to what you gave us, so now we want shafa'at. You know what? She will give it. But do you want to be in that position in front of her? That your children died to guide us, and we never used that guidance. We never paid attention to it. We ignored it. And you know what? Please, can you give me shafa'at now? Yes, he will say yes. But my friends, wouldn't it be better that if we had taken the guidance from them, so that when we go there, we say, we followed what you have said. She will say, you don't need my shafa'at. You come with me. You come with me. I mean, that is where we want to reach. That. This is a higher level of love, the love of Ahlul Bayt. La ilaha illallah. Now, As I said, I went on a tangent. Let me come back. Send a salawat, please. My friends, the people of this dunya, because the worldly people, when they love materialistic things, what happens is that they cannot find satisfaction. They try to get something else, they can't find, there's a limit. When there's a limit, what do? They end up going into the world of guna and sins. That's how people get into sins. Because they cannot find lazzat and pleasure that they were expecting in dunya, in the materialistic things of dunya, so they end up going towards sins and disobedience to God. That's why they go. But here now what happens is this. When you come to Ahlul Bayt, what happens? Have you understand what happens with your life? What do Ahlul Bayt do to you? What does Imam Hussein do to you? Really, what does he do to you? I want you to understand this, my friends. I don't know, I lost track of time. Just understand this, right? You know, so that truly you understand this message. What do Ahlul Bayt do to us, to our hearts? You know what they do? You know, here's what happens, my friends. When a person starts loving Imam Hussein, loving Ahlul Bayt, you know, he starts to love them, right? Now, as we start loving them, then we go through life with their love. And then a point comes where we have to die. And the angel of death will come. And that moment in our life is a very subtle and delicate moment. It's a very subtle moment in our life. Very delicate moment in our life. That happens. Understand this. Right? And I say this because it's not easy. Because you have lived in this world with all kinds of dreams and hopes and all kinds of things that you had. Now, when the angel of death will come, he'll say, let's go. He will say, let's go. Come on, let's go. And you'll be like, okay. Tell me, what would your response be at that moment? Don't answer. Right? Don't answer so easily. As I said, it's a very hard moment in our life. Let me give you an example so you understand. You know, Mary was the mother of Jesus. And this Mary, when the angel of death came to her and said, let's go. I'm here. You know, this is the angel of death. You know, he just came into the house and said, let's go. Right? And Mary, Maryam, at that moment, you know, she was like, you know, she said, my son has gone to get something. Now, the son is not Isa, it's not Jesus, another son. My son has got to get something. Just give me a moment until he comes back. Now, who's Mary? Mary is, really, Allah praises her in the Quran and says that she is the chief of the women of that time. Her piety, her faith cannot even be compared. She has faith in God, in Allah. That's how much faith. I mean, really, without any doubt. And here you see that Mary, when the angel of death came to her, she's saying, give me a moment. I'm not ready yet. Now understand what sort of a delicate situation is there. When the angel of death comes to you and says, let's go. What? Now, my friends, that is Mary's case. Now I want you to compare it to yourself. Now let me give you an example about a Shia. When the angel of death comes to a Shia and he will say, let's go, the Shia will say, come on, let's go. A mu'min will say, let's go. And, you know, everyone is surprised when the angel of death comes. But when the angel of death comes to a Shia, he is surprised. Understand this. He is surprised. He says, what? So easily? You're ready to give up your life just like that? Really? You are ready to give up your life just like that? And you're ready to go and leave everything? He says, yes. He says, why? Understand this. Why are you so ready to give up the life of this world? Why are you so ready to give up the life of this world? That mu'min will say to him, because I have lived my life to the full. There's nothing in this life can give me anymore. There's nothing that this life can give me anymore. I have lived it to the full. There's nothing. There's no more capacity in this life. He says, how come? Because I loved in this life. I found love in this life. My friends, understand this. The only thing that can fill the cup of your yearning and your wishes in this life is the love of Ahlul Bayt. La ilaha illallah. Now, you know, again, maybe, you know, some people haven't understood. Let me make you understand this, all right? My friends, let's say that a person is a billionaire. He's in the top 10 of the Fortune 500 list, right? Up there. Imagine how many assets and how much wealth he has and all these things we have. Tell me. When the angel of death is going to come to him and say, let's go. He's a billionaire. He has everything he can want in this world. Is he ready to go? Is he ready to go? Will he say, okay, let's go. You know, I earned so much. I lived so much. Now it's time for me to go. Really? Understand psychology here. When it comes to a billionaire, you have billions. You have everything. You have a yard. You can go around the world. That's all you do in your life. And when the angel of death comes and says, let's go, do you think that person is ready? Or is he going to say, what are you talking about? I have so much to do. I have so much to live. What, you haven't lived? You have billions of dollars. You have all these assets and all these enjoyments. You still haven't lived yet? He'll say, no, I haven't lived. I want to live more. What else is there? My friends, no matter how much wealth of dunya you have, your life will never be quenched. And the love and pleasure in this life will never be quenched unless you have the love of Ahlul Bayt. This is it, my friends. This is what it is. Imagine it. Think about it. Reflect on it. La ilaha illallah. Karbala is love. Every angle of Karbala, you see love. And when someone loves something to that extent that we find in Karbala, then you know what? The most harshest environment becomes lovable. Really. It is said that, written that the companions of Imam Hussein, when they were being struck with swords and spears and whatever, knives and daggers, whenever they were being struck, not one of them felt pain. Not one of them felt pain. It was like they're getting ice cream, you know? Being stabbed from here, they're feeling happy. They're feeling happy. Enjoying it. Why? Because it is love. This is love. When you love, there is no pain, and no matter what hardship you go through. This is love, my friends. La ilaha illallah. You know, what comes out of love is really something to hold valuable, to treasure. When something comes from love. You think that Imam Hussein was crying for Ali Akbar because he was his son? When Ali Akbar was leaving, do you think that he was crying because, you know, Ali Akbar, where are you going, you know? People say because of his son, this and that. Really, you think that's why Imam Hussein is crying for Ali Akbar? Don't you understand? I mean, Hussein is bigger than that. Hussein is bigger than that. You know what he sees when he sees Ali Akbar? He sees a gift that Allah had given him that he's losing. He sees a gift. Allah, you gave me this gift. It is you who I love, and you gave Ali Akbar as a gift to me. And when you lose that, it's like Allah, I'm losing your gift. That's why Imam Hussein was walking behind Ali Akbar. This is it, my friends. When you go to Imam Hussein, there is pleasure. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we had gone to Karbala. And Zairin, they went to the Haram of Imam Hussein. They gave their condolences. They cried. You know, they came back to the hotel. And one of the youngster, he came to me and said, "You know, Maulana, I don't know. I mean, I visited Imam Hussein's grave, and after this, I feel a sense of calm, a sense of pleasure, a sense of joy. Is there something wrong? Is, you know, maybe something wrong with me that I'm feeling this?" I said, "No, it's all right. You know, when you go to the Haram of Imam Hussein, when you cry for him, then Allah gives you this joy in your heart." Really, everyone who goes to Karbala, everyone who goes to the grave of Imam Hussein, Allah gives them joy. He gives them happiness. He gives them a pleasure. A pleasure that you really, if you feel it, then you will be like, "I want to feel this for the rest of my life." That's the pleasure He gives. Really, everyone who went to Karbala, you see there's joy that was given to him, except for one person. Except for one person, and that was excluded from this rule. Everyone who goes to the grave of Hussein was made happy, except for Zainab Kubra. When Zainab went to Karbala, she felt sadness. When she came out, she felt more sadness. Yes, your love doesn't match Zainab's love. Zainab's love is different. You cannot match Zainab's love, my friends, really. You know, Zainab's love for Hussein was completely different. Really, my friends, when you look at Karbala and you see the relationship of this brother and sister, because Zainab is not someone who's emotional. Really, do not see that, you know, because a lot of times when we deal with, for example, our sisters and this and that, we feel that they're emotional. Zainab is known as Aqilah Bani Hashim. She is the intellect of Bani Hashim. Imam Sajjad called her Alime Ghayre Muallima. That you are a scholar who has no teacher. This is Imam Sajjad who's speaking about her. She is someone who, when she sees very far. She sees so far and she sees so much. No one has been or will ever be a greater azadar and mourner of Hussein than Zainab was. This is Zainab, my friends. That Zainab, when she left Karbala, she felt sad. She felt sad. She didn't want to leave that state of being. She felt sad. You know, throughout the journey, when Zainab went from her home, she was soaked. She knew where Hussein is going. She knew what Hussein is up to. She knew what is the predicament of Hussein's action. Everyone knew in Medina. Everyone knew in Medina. She knows more than them. She understood what Hussein is going through. So now what happens? What happens is that when Hussein is going through this trouble and Hussein is going through these hardships, you know, every moment of the trip was hard for Hussein to come face to face with the ummah of his grandfather, with the nation of his grandfather, and get hurt so many times and get deceived so many times. He knows what's going on, but his heart, Hussein, as I said, 99% of love that Allah has given to mankind is in Hussein's heart. Really, you know who Hussein is? Hussein is speaking to Umar ibn Sa'd and trying to change him. He's trying to change him. Hussein, don't you know that the day that Umar ibn Sa'd accepted the government of Ray in exchange for your killing, that he died, that he was dead? You are speaking to a dead person. Just like Allah said to Rasulullah, you are speaking to these people, they are dead, they won't listen to you. Hussein, you are speaking to dead people, they are not going to change. They are treacherous, deceiving people. They are not going to change. Their demons who have come in the guise of human beings, they are not going to change. But do you think that's going to stop Hussein's kindness? You think that's going to stop Hussein from being himself and being kind and merciful and compassionate? Hussein won't stop that, my friends. Hussein has a very big heart. Hussein has a huge heart that we can't even compare. We don't even comprehend. You can just feel it because you're living in his embrace right now. This is Hussein. So now when Zainab sees Hussein in this situation, when Zainab sees him like this, she knows that, you know what? She wants to make it easy on Hussein. She knows that everything that is happening is hurting Hussein so much. It is hurting him inside. She doesn't want to do anything. She wants to make sure that the environment around Hussein is easy on Hussein, that Hussein is not burdened with more than what he is handling. Zainab is a Shia of Hussein. She comes around Hussein and she wants to make sure that Hussein doesn't worry about anything, that everything that she could handle, she'll take care of. This is the reason that when she went to Karbala, and after Karbala, when she went with her children, Aun and Muhammad, she wanted to make sure that she doesn't pay attention to them, that she gives more attention to Ali Akbar, so that Hussein doesn't feel burdened, Hussein doesn't feel bad that now that Zainab is looking after her children. But this is Zainab's outlook on Hussein. That's why when Aun and Muhammad came with Zainab, Zainab never turned to look at them. When they went to fight, she never looked at them fighting. When they came back, she never looked at them. She kept away from them. But when Ali Akbar came back and his body came back, now you see everything was different. Zainab looked at that and she started crying over that. This is Zainab, my friend. And now when she sees Hussein, every time she saw Hussein and she saw Ali Akbar, she saw Onan Muhammad, she would always ask about Ali Akbar. When it was hot, and it was hot, sometimes there would be heat, and at that point she would come and say, Ali Akbar, you are feeling down, you want some water? You want some water? It is said, my friends, to such an extent, it is said, when the news of Hussein and the children of Hussein's death and martyrdom came to Medina, and it reached the husband of Zainab, Abdullah ibn Jafar al-Tayyar, when it reached there, so at that point, a person around Abdullah made a statement, a comment that is, it's a demeaning comment that he said, I heard that your children died, it's because of Hussein they died. As soon as he said that, Abdullah grabbed his neck and said, don't ever say that. The only reason I'm here is because Hussein commanded me to. Otherwise, I would give my life for Hussein also. When Zainab came back to Medina, and one day when they were speaking with each other, Abdullah asked Zainab, because the stories came, all the incidents that happened throughout the journey came back. Abdullah asked Zainab and said, tell me one thing, I heard that when the children of Hussein were martyred, that you went to the battlefield and you were step with Hussein, making sure that he doesn't feel bad. Tell me, Zainab, did you go out when Aun and Muhammad went to fight? This is Zainab, my friend. When Umar and Muhammad, you know how they came? They were kept in Medina. Imam Hussein left them in Medina. He brought the others. He left them in Medina. When Imam Hussein made the intention of going towards Karbala, and that news came to Abdullah. Abdullah made his way there. Imam Hussein left Hajj. My friends, he left Hajj. And really, Imam Hussein, I mean, to understand Hussein, you need to really look at the depths and in between the lines of tragedy, and then you will know the sea that is Hussein's heart. When Hussein left, he didn't go far from Makkah. He went to the place which is known as Masjid al-Tan'im right now. It's not even 5 miles away from there. He went there and he asked Abbas, "Abbas, stop the caravan here. Stop the caravan here." Abbas knew that this is not a place to stop, but he asked, "Do you want all the tents to be put down or just yours?" Imam Hussein said, "Only my tent. Keep that here. The rest stay there. I'm only stopping for a few minutes." As soon as they put Imam Hussein's tent up, he told Abbas, "Abbas, go outside. I am expecting a guest. Bring him inside." As soon as Abbas goes outside, he sees Abdullah ibn Ja'far walking with Aun and Muhammad coming to the tent. Now obviously this is Abdullah ibn Ja'far. This is the husband of Zainab. For Abbas, he is someone who's an elder. Abbas looks at him and says, "You are here, salam." And then he brings him into Hussein. And he came to Hussein, and Hussein met him. He met him and said, "Hussein, really, if it was up to me, I would hold you back here and tie you so that you don't go. But I know you are the Imam of the time and you know more than me. You know more than me and you know why you're going." He says, "Yes." He says, "I'm just here so I can give my farewell to my wife." He says, "Binte Fatima." Abdullah had respect. You see, everyone in Karbala, everyone in the caravan of Imam Hussein had a dignified approach with Hazrat Zainab. When she came, she was the queen. No one would do anything unless she gives permission. She was like that. Imam Hussein said, "She's there on her ride. Go ahead. Go ahead and you speak with her." He went there. Zainab, when she heard that he is coming, anything could happen. But here when he came, she says, "Yes, what is it? What is it that you want? If you came to separate me from Hussein, then that's not going to work, Abdullah." When Abdullah heard that, he says, "My lady, how can I even think of separating you from your brother? How can that even cross my mind? I did not come for that. Zainab, I know where Hussein is going. And I know where he's taking the caravan. Zainab, I came here so that I can give you my offering. This is Aun and Muhammad. Take them with you. And when Hussein needs them, offer them for Hussein." That's it, my friends. That's it. Now that caravan left. After that caravan, Zainab did not pay attention to Aun and Muhammad. Aun and Muhammad tried their best to please their mother, but it was as if it wasn't enough. Zainab would always care for Ali Akbar. Zainab would always care for Ali Asghar. And she would say, "Come here, Akbar, drink this." These boys would be there. And you know what? When Hussein saw that, he saw it throughout the journey. When Hussein saw that, he kept Aun and Muhammad with himself. Every place Hussein used to go, Aun and Muhammad would be right next to him. Whenever he used to go and meet people, Aun and Muhammad would be next to him. And Hussein would make sure that his hand is always on their heads. Aun and Muhammad would stand next to Hussein as if they are bodyguards. They would stand next to Hussein. Hussein would feel so proud of them. His love and his heart would shower his love. He would shower his love on them. He would grab them and come here, my sons. Every minute he used to take care of them and watch over them. He would fill that gap that Zainab, because of the fact that she loved Hussein so much, she didn't want to bother him with this. And this came down until that time. What can I say? This came down until that time, until the night of Ashura. When the night of Ashura came, when the night of Ashura came, Hussein went to test his companions first. He went to test his companions. Then after that, Hussein, when he left his companions, he was walking around the tents. Those who have been to Karbala have been to the Muqayyam and saw the tents of Hussein. Hussein's tent, you see, is in the middle. Behind Hussein's tent is Zainab's tent. Those who have been there, just imagine that scene. The companions are all around. Ahlul Bayt are in the middle. In the middle. And then Hussein, he goes seeing, after he goes to the companions, he goes to the tents of his mahram, to the ladies. And as he goes around looking at the tents, he comes to the tent of Zainab and he hears and sees something that is shaking him, that makes him shaken, that really his whole being was shaken. This is Hussein, and Hussein's heart that is looking at Zainab. You know what happened? Zainab was sitting there. In front of Zainab was Aun and Muhammad, little kids. Their ages between 10 to 14, you can say that. In between, she's sitting there, and she's sitting in front of them. And they're sitting with complete dignity and respect, with their heads bowed down. And Zainab is speaking to them. And Zainab is telling them, "Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are?" And these children, they don't want to say anything. Their heads are bowed down and they're nodding. And Zainab says, "Remember one thing. You are the grandson of Ja'far at-Tayyar. You are the grandson of Haydar al-Karrar, Ali ibn Abi Talib." The kids are nodding. She's saying, "Remember this. None of your grandfather, when they went to the battlefield, the enemy never saw their backside. The enemy never saw their backside. They always went forward. They always went straight. Remember that, my children. You are small, but remember that when you go there, when you go there, I don't want to see your face." जब हुसैन ज़ैनब की है नसीहत सुनते हैं तो हुसैन के सारे जिस्म में लर्ज़ा आता है। हाँ, ये बच्चे जो अपने आप को तैयार कर रहे हैं और कह रहे हैं अपनी माँ को कि माँ फिक्र ना करो, हम जानते हैं हम हैदर कर्रार के नवासे हैं, हम जानते हैं कि हम जाफर तैयार के पोते हैं, माँ हम कल ऐसी जिहाद करेंगे कि वो हमें देखकर और आप भी हमें देखकर फख्र करेंगे। हाँ, जब खरबला, जब आशूर आया तो हुसैन जंग में, हुसैन जंग में मशगूल है, बच्चे देख रहे हैं, सहाबी कत्ल हो रहे हैं, एक के बाद एक शहीद हो रहे हैं। जब असहाब खत्म हो चुके, जब अहले बैत की बारी आई, तो जो पहला शहीद अहले बैत का आया वो सबसे रौनक शहीद था। हाँ, जब अली अकबर का लाशा खैमों में आया तो उसके बाद अहले बैत में एक गौगा मच गया, एक वलवला हो गया। हाँ, अली अकबर मारा गया।
जब ये आवाज आई तो सारे बच्चे जो अली अकबर के नीचे होते थे, साथी होते थे, अली अकबर को देखते थे, बड़ा भाई था, जब वो अली अकबर को इस हाल में देखते तो हरे के अंदर मक्तल में जाने के लिए वो जोश उठा कि कभी कासिम उठता है मुझे जाने दीजिए, कभी ओना मोहम्मद उठता है मुझे जाने दीजिए। अब ये वक्त आया जब शहीद होने लगे तो जैनब, एक वक्त ये होता है, कहते हैं जैनब ने हुसैन को ये पैगाम पहुंचाया, भैया अभी तक मेरे बच्चे यहां क्यों है यहां। हुसैन अब आते हैं जैनब के पास, कहते हैं जैनब तुम्हारी ख्वाहिश थी ना बच्चे जाए जहाद पर, तो लो मैं इजाजत देता हूं, आए मेरे बेटो, आए मेरे नूरे नजर, यहां जाओ तुम्हें इजाजत है। जैसा बच्चों ने सुना वो फौरन गए घोड़ों के पास, और जब वो जाने शुरू करे तो फिर मां पुकारती है, ना बेटे इधर आओ, वापस आओ। क्या हुआ मां, क्यों वापस आए? ऐसा नहीं, जब मैं तुम्हें भेजूंगी तो मैं चाह रही हूं, मेरी ख्वाहिश है कि जिस तरह मैं चाह रही हूं तुम वैसा जाना। जैनब खैमे में गई, दो अमामे उठा के लेके आई, हुसैन देख रहे हैं मंजर, अमामे उठा के लेके आई। आज जब हुसैन की नजर वो अमामों पर पड़ी तो हुसैन से रहा नहीं गया, एक दादा अली का मामा और एक नाना जाफर तैयार का मामा, दोनों को जैनब खुद पिनाती है और अब कहती है अब जाओ मेरे शहजादो, जाके दिखा दो तुम किसके नवास है, तुम किसके पोते, किसका खून तुम्हारे रगों में दौड़ रहा है।
अल्लाह आप लोगों को कोई गम में ना रुलाए सिवाय गम हुसैन के। भाइयों बस अब आखिरी मरहला आ रहा है और आप पुरसा दीजिए। देखिए अब ये दो बच्चे जब इजाजत मिल गई है, मामू से भी इजाजत मिली है, मां से भी इजाजत मिल गई है, अब जो आगे बढ़ते हैं मैदान की तरफ तो लिखा ये गया, छोटे बच्चे हैं, देखिए कोई बुजुर्ग नहीं है, कोई बड़े नहीं है, छोटे बच्चे हैं, कमसिन उम्र है, जब वो जाते हैं तो इतनी मारिफत है उनमें कि वो पलट के भी खैमे की तरफ नहीं देखे, पलट के भी खैमे की तरफ नहीं देखे, कहीं मां कहीं कमजोर पड़ जाएंगे, नहीं। अब जो जाते हैं आगे तो जाते हैं मैदान की तरफ, अब जो लड़ाई शुरू होती है, कमसिन बच्चे हैं मगर लड़ते हैं इस दिलेरी से, इस शुजात से कि जब वो आधा देखते हैं, जो बुजुर्ग बड़े लोग हैं वो देखते हैं ये बच्चों को लड़ते हुए, वो खुद लरस जाते हैं, ये किसके बच्चे हैं, ये कैसे बच्चे हैं जिनमें जर्री बराबर भी तरस नहीं, जर्री बराबर भी खौफ नहीं। अब वो बच्चे जाते हैं लड़ते हैं मगर इस तरह से लड़े हैं। हाय अब्बास ने सिखाया बच्चों को लड़ना, अब्बास के शागिर्द है। छोटे हुए थे, क्या हुआ वो जानते हैं महारत किस तरह से लड़ी जाती है, दोनों इस तरह से लड़े हैं कि एक दूसरे पे नजर है, ये ना हो कि अकेले हो जाए, एक दूसरे पे नजर है, ये कह के लड़ते हैं कि आवाज देते हुए लड़ो ताकि मैं जानू तुम कहां है, तुम जानो मैं कहां है। अब दोनों इस तरह से लड़ लेते जा रहे हैं, अब वो पुकारता है मोहम्मद, औन कहां हो, औन वहां से कहता भैया मैं यहां हूं। अब वहां से वो कहता है, अब ये कहते हुए वो आगे बढ़ते हैं लश्कर में, मारते हुए आगे बढ़ते हैं, तो बस अब एक वक्त ऐसा आया कि मोहम्मद को जब मार लगी और इस तरह से मार लगी कि वो घोड़े से गिरा, तो फिर वो पुकारता है भैया मैं गिर गया।
भैया में गिर गया, अब उस पर और जब वो सुनते हैं तो अपने आप को मोहम्मद की तरफ लाते हैं, ढूंढते हुए लाते हैं कि वहां पर पहुंचो, मेरे भैया की मदद करो। अब वो आए वहां पर, देखे कि मोहम्मद जमीन पर पड़े हुए हैं, और जब देखते अपने भाई को अपने आप को गिरा दिए, अब वो मारना शुरू हो आधा तो मार लगती रही दोनों एक दूसरे के गले में। अब कहते हैं अब मैं आए मामू आ जाओ, अब जैसा मामू सुनते हैं वो भागते हुए आए, वो भागते हुए आए, हुसैन आए। अब आके जब देखते हैं दोनों पड़े हुए छोटे बच्चे जमीन पर, करबला की रेती पर पड़े हुए हैं, हुसैन दोनों को उठाते हैं, अब्बास मदद करने आए, अब वो लेके आते हैं, बस आखिरी मरहला आ गया है। मेरे भाइयों मेरे बहनों, आजादाराने हुसैन, देखिए ये रिश्ते जो करबला में है, ये रिश्तों की लताफत में दुनिया की मसाइब है। इन्हीं रिश्तों के मसाइब में हर अदा करबला में एक दुनिया की मसाइब लाती है। अब इसी तरह जब खैमे में बच्चों को लाया गया और जैनब के पास रखा, जैनब ने दो बच्चों को देखती है, सजदा में शुक्र अदा करती है। हुसैन कहते हैं जैनब, जैनब जब से हम चले, जब से ये बच्चे कारवान में आए, मैं देखा कि तुम ये बच्चों को पूछी नहीं, कभी अली अकबर को पूछती है मगर ओनो मोहम्मद को नहीं पूछी। जैनब एक भैया की ख्वाहिश है, एक भैया की ख्वाहिश है, देखो ये ओन अभी तक जिंदा है, अभी तक जिंदा है। जैनब ये अपने बेटे को पूछो। जब जैनब जाती है नजदीक तो ओन की आखिरी लम्हे नजदीक जाती है, ओन कुछ कहना चाह रहे हैं, जैनब अपने कान को नजदीक लेके गई, ओन जब इतना पूछ दे अपनी आखिरी सांस में, मां क्या हमसे राजी है।
में हुसैन
जिन्नो अखवा का नाम लिस्ट में है वो आगे आ जाए।
Yao Sei